Good morning. And how are you? Now, if you remember, I preached on this gospel last week, so this is part two. So if you didn't hear last week's homily, go online and listen to it, because it's the second part of it. And as I was praying about last week's homily, I thought that sometimes, again, I try to scare people into doing what God wants them to do. And that's never the way to go. It just isn't. You know, God, you will stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose feast day we celebrate today, Christ the King, and he will judge us. And we must prepare for that judgment. And he has given us the questions to the final exam. But we need to do what we do, not out of fear of going to hell, but we do what we do out of love for him. Huh? That when he says, whatever you did or didn't do, the least of your brothers or my brothers or sisters, you did it to me. That we do what we do because we're in love with Jesus. It's that simple. It's not because of, oh, you know, if I don't take care of the poor, I'm going to go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell, so I'll take care of the poor. Well, get over yourself. Why don't we do what we do because we love them? Huh? Today, when I was doing my holy hour, I was up in our chapel in the rectory, which I don't get in much because Father Wright lives in there. And so every time he has mass, I go, oh, good, I can go into my chapel. And so I'll go into the chapel. And when I built the chapel, I had the crucifix there right above the tabernacle. And next to the tabernacle is just the two words that Mother Teresa put next to all her crucifixes throughout the world. I thirst. That what Jesus wants of me, what he wants of you, is for us to thirst for him because he thirsts for us, and to do what we do because we're in love with him. And so, again, what does that look like? Well, again, explicitly it means we take care of the poor. And again, how does that look to take care of the poor? That we tithe, huh? Now, again, when we talk about tithing, that's giving 10% of our income to God. That does not mean giving it to the church. This isn't a talk about giving more money to church. That isn't what I'm about or what God's about. But that 10% of our money goes to God. Go 5% to the church, 5% to the poor, 10% to the church, 10% to the poor, whatever you want. But again, if we make that personal, it wouldn't be that hard, right? If Jesus came up to you and you had $100 left to your name, and Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came up to you and says, can I have $10 of your $100? Who of us here would say no? No, I'm not giving you $10. That'll only leave me with 90. But this is what it is. Jesus asking us to give to him. Now, again, on EWTN, as I've talked about just before, people, you know, you get the scholars of the law and the scholars, these good, solid Catholics that call and say, you know, that's not really true. We don't have to give 10%. It's an old law, an old condition. And then I always go, you're right, sir. You're so much smarter than me. Whoa. What you have to give is everything. That's the Christian way. That's the early church way. So I'll let you make that decision. You can give the 10% or you can give everything. Do what you want. The point of it is you put God first with your money. You give it to him because it's his. You take care of the poor because it's Jesus. And we'd all do that. I don't think there's one. Even if he came up to us and Jesus, we only got $100 left to our name, and he says, I want it all. Will you give it to me? Yes, Lord. It's yours. Of course I'd give it to you. So if we know what we're doing for the poor, we're doing for Jesus, I think every one of us would gladly do it. We'd always put him first. And I think that's what God's trying to tell us. It's me. Put me first and I'll bless you. Put me first. So that's the first thing. So do I put him first in my life with my financial resources, with my time? Today you'll have the opportunity to take an angel off there and take care of a young child who can't get stuff and buy a gift for them for Christmas. That's putting Christ first, and I think every one of us would do it, of course. But the second thing is, again, as I've talked to you many times before, is it's when Jesus talks about what you did or didn't do, the least of my brothers or sisters, the least of the brothers or sisters is the least on our personal list, right? As you've heard me talk about Dorothy Day before, and Dorothy Day says, we love God as much as the person we like the least. We love God as much as the person we like the least. And sometimes that's people in our own families or whatever. You know, I was watching before Mass, you know, that Sunday show that's on every week with the sun, you know, whatever that is. What's that called? Yeah, the morning Sunday thing, and it has the sun every week. Well, anyway, they had an interview of a guy who used to be in a band from England. I don't remember the band. They were number one in the world at one time. I don't remember. But it was him and his brother. And then his brother had a falling out years ago, and he said, and the interviewer asked him, he says, well, is this forever? He goes, as far as I'm concerned, I will never speak to him or be in relationship with him again until ever, until death, this is his now. And I thought, your brother, he could have done a lot of stuff to you, but your brother, his brother was the least one on his list. He can do all kinds of stuff. He can look all pretty. But your brother, you refuse to forgive. And who is that? It's Jesus. He refuses to forgive Jesus because he cannot see Jesus in his brother. In the least person on our list, that person we can't stand, the person who hurt us, the person that's bottom of our list, that's Jesus. And so the call from Christ is, I want you to know that that's me. The way you treat or don't treat this person is what you're doing to me. And again, if any of us were here and any of us sat there and saw that it was Jesus coming and asking forgiveness or Jesus wanting to be in relationship with us, I don't think one of us here would say, no, Jesus, get out of my life forever.
I wouldn't want to say that, but you could.
But that's what we say to the people who are the least of our brothers or sisters on our own personal list. We love God as much as the person we like the least. And then finally, the bishops of the United States have asked us today to pray for the persecuted Christians. That in the world today, the statistics have been, there are more martyrs for Christ in the church today than any other time in human history. There are people who are being killed. As we sit in our comfortable church and we sing great music and we do all our stuff we do every week, there are people today, just by going to church, that can be killed for that. I wonder how many of us, first of all, would be here today if it would cost us our life. If just by walking in this church today you could be killed, would we all still want to be here? Again, we would if it's about Jesus first. Huh? Remember when St. Paul, when he was knocked off his horse or whatever, knocked down to the ground by Jesus, the first thing that Jesus says to him is what? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, who are you that I would persecute you? I am Jesus. And Paul never persecuted Jesus on the cross. Who did he persecute? The followers of Jesus. And so what Jesus says is, don't you get it? That's me. Anyone who is in me, when you persecute them, you persecute me. So again, let's say, for instance, someone came up here today and took the tabernacle, opened the tabernacle door and took out the host and started stamping on Jesus Christ. Would anybody here try to stop that? Oh, it would be, the person would be seeing Jesus immediately face to face if I'm here. And yet in the world today, there are people throughout the world being persecuted. And again, sometimes we neglect that's Jesus, and I got to do something. So what the bishops have asked is that today be a day of prayer for the persecuted. But what I want to ask is that we make that even more personal, that we do something explicitly for that. So what I'm asking is that each of us would say one rosary this week for the persecuted Christians. Not for anything in yourself, not for the want of your family, not for the conversion, not for your holiness, but that one rosary, just one rosary this week, is completely, completely, 100%, nothing else, just for the persecuted Christians in the world. Because when we do this, we do it for who? For Jesus. And so what Jesus is calling us to this week is not just be afraid of him as our king and he will judge us in judgment, but to love him. To love him personally with our resources, to give to him gladly, to love him in those people that are least of our brothers and sisters in our personal life, and to love him in the people who are persecuted throughout the world for his name, that Jesus is present there in all. And our call this week and every day of our life is to love him and put him first. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? Made you know his love today and forever. Amen.